Today we started to talk about the halacha lemaisa that we learned from the tzitz, which was one of the big day kahuna that had to be worn by the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara Menachos Daf Lamed Vav, it's also Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Gemara Maseches Yuma, tells us the very same halacha. Chayav Adam lemashmesh betfilin b'chol sha'a. A person has an obligation to be memashmesh betfilin, to make sure you are fully aware of the fact that the tefillin is on one's head the entire duration of time while one is wearing them. Kavachomer mitzitz, and we learn this out from the halacha by the tzitz. Uma hatzitz she'embo ela azkara achas, when we have the tzitz which only has one Shem of Hashem listed on it, Amra Torah v'haya al mitzchotam, the Torah says you always have to make sure to pay attention to the fact that it is on the head of the Kohen Gadol. Shalayasiach daitam imenu, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to ever be distracted or neglect the fact that he's wearing the tzitz. Certainly, says the Gemara, tefillin, which has Azkaros Harbe, which has many Shemos of Hashem written on them, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, certainly says the Gemara that a person must be careful to pay close attention and never to be distracted from the fact that the tefillin are on one's head. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in line with this Gemara, in Simen Chavches, Sif Aleph, that a person always has to be Memashmesh B'Tefillin. So what exactly does it mean, Hesach Hadas? What is the prohibition of Hesach Hadas? And how do we define it clearly? So the Rambam writes as follows. In Hilchos Tefillin, the Rambam says, Chayiv Adam lemashmesh b'tfilav kol zman shehem alav. Person always has to make sure that they feel, that they recognize the presence of the tefillin. Shelo yasiach daita mehem afilu rega echad. Not to remove our concentration from the tefillin while we wear them, even for a moment. In fact, the Shita Mukubetzas quotes from one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Simcha, I don't know much about him, but the Shita Mukubetzas writes in his name that he was troubled. How do we recite Kriya Shema while we wear a tefillin? After all, we're going to take our minds away from the tefillin because we have to concentrate on the Kriya Shema. That's how far the Rishonim took it. Because a person has an obligation while they're wearing the tefillin to only concentrate solely and exclusively on the tefillin itself, to the point that the Rishonim ask, how could we even say Kriya Shema? How could we be involved even in the most lofty of experiences of conversations with the Ribbono Shel Olam at the time that we're wearing our tefillin? Says the Rambam, why is it that we have to be so careful? Shekedushasan gedula mekedushas hatzitz, because these have a higher level of sanctity than the tzitz itself. Shehatzitz ein bo ela shem echad, because the tzitz only has one Shem Hashem, and our tefillin have many, many more. And this is the opinion of the Rambam, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, all based on the Gemara. So the Rishonim have a discussion, and this is a discussion we always have to have whenever we approach any sugyan halacha. Are we dealing with a din d'oraisa? Are we dealing with a din d'rabbanan? There are so many nafkaminas that come about whenever we're dealing with a shayla that's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, and this is a major machlokas of Rishonim. Should we assume that here we're dealing with a din d'oraisa or we're dealing with a din d'rabbanan? So Tosis on the Daf and Yuma Daf Ches points out that we must be dealing with a din d'rabbanan. Why? Because Tosa says, how can you equate tzitz together with tefillin? They're not at all similar. After all, the tzitz has a shem Hashem begolui. It is exposed. It's not covered over. So of course you have to make sure to pay attention that that shem Hashem that's begolui, that's exposed, is never going to be desecrated, is never going to be forgotten about. But by tefillin, where we have the shem Hashem that's mechupa, we have the shem Hashem that is covered over by the boxes of the tefillin, how can you compare that at all to the bizayon that would come to a tzitz which has the shem Hashem begolui? Says Rabbeinu Tam, these two cases don't sound similar at all, and therefore he's led to say that we're not dealing here with a kavachomer d'oraisa. We're not dealing here with a real din d'oraisa. We're just dealing with a takanas chachamim bilvad. We're just dealing with a din d'rabbanan. The Rabbanan said the same way we have an idea by the tzitz, even though it's not exactly comparable to the case of tefillin, because after all the tzitz is exposed and the tefillin are covered up, but still the chachamim said we should institute the same idea by the tefillin as we find by the tzitz, although it's not an exact comparison. However, the Acharonim point out that from the Rambam it seems that no, this is a drasha gemura midaraisa. The Rambam feels this is an absolute drasha daraisa. It's something that we learn from the pasuk in our parsha, v'hayo al mitzchot tamid, and therefore we assume that this is a biblical command, that tefillin, the same way whenever the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, he has an obligation, and we have an obligation to pay full attention to that, and never to lose sight of the fact that the tefillin is on our head, or the tzitz is on the head. So that's the first question that needs to be dealt with. Are we dealing with a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? The second question that the Rishonim deal with is, what exactly constitutes a hesach hadas? Every moment that I wear the tefillin, I have to be paying attention that I'm wearing the tefillin? I can't be distracted by anything? Or it just means I shouldn't be distracted by things which are antithetical to tefillin. So what exactly do we mean? So if you look in the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah Daf Chavav, this is really where the whole discussion begins. The Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Chavav a very surprising statement. Hanichnas lishan bayom. Let's say you have somebody who works very hard. They decide in the middle of the day they're going to take a little nap, 5-10 minutes, power nap. And we're talking about the days where they used to wear tefillin the entire duration of the day. So the Gemara says if you're just going to take a short power nap or small nap during the day, ratzachlitz, ratzameniach. If you want to leave your tefillin on, you have the right. If you want to take them off, you have a right to do that. So the question is, how can a person sleep in their tefillin? You have to obviously have hesach hadas while you're wearing the tefillin. You cannot concentrate while you're sleeping. You cannot concentrate on your tefillin. It's not going to work. You cannot concentrate on anything. You're dreaming. You're sleeping. You're not really cognizant of anything that's going on. So what exactly does the Gemara mean that a person is allowed to sleep a shinos arai, a small nap, in the tefillin? Don't we know there's a prohibition of hesach hadas? And this leads Rabbeinu Yonah to say, no, that's not what hesach hadas means. Hesach hadas means we have a prohibition while wearing the tefillin to be involved in schok v'kalas rosh, in that which is lightheadedness, and that which is antithetical to everything that the tefillin represent. That's what one is not allowed to be engaged in while wearing the tefillin. However, for a person just to have their mind on something else that's neutral, let's say you fall asleep for a couple of minutes, so in a case like that, the Rabbeinu Yonah assumes that was never part of the prohibition of hesach hadas at all, and that's why the Gemara assumes in Maseches Sukkah that one is allowed to sleep a shinos arai while wearing the tefillin. However, the Shagas Aryeh points out that this is not the opinion of all the Rishonim. The Shagas Aryeh writes that the Rambam and the Ramban strongly disagree with Rabbeinu Yonah's definition of hesach hadas, and they say no. When a person wears the tefillin, they have to have absolute concentration on the tefillin, not just to the exclusion of schok v'kalas rosh, of frivolity, of lightheadedness. No, it means you have to concentrate on the tefillin proper. You have to think about the fact that you're wearing the tefillin. How do we know that? Because the Tur in Yoredeya Hilchos Avelos quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says that an Avel has to be able to be mechavin while he's wearing his tefillin, shelo yasiach daita mehem. And even though the Avel is preoccupied not with schok v'kalas rosh, the Avel is preoccupied with dealing with the Avelos, with trying to make the arrangements for whatever has to be done for the Shiva, and trying to think about all the loss that they're suffering, still says the Ramban, the Avel has to be able to have concentration on the tefillin while he's wearing them. And if he cannot do that, says the Tur, and says the Rambam, if the Avel is not able, again, we don't blame the Avel, sometimes they are so overwhelmed with emotion, so overwhelmed with the loss that they're suffering with, if you cannot have the requisite concentration for the tefillin themselves, says the Ramban, the Avel does not have a right to wear those tefillin. And this is what the Rambam writes as well, a person who cannot have the right kavana. Rambam says someone who is mitztayer, ve'ein daita miyoshevis, for whatever reason. You're a great mitztayer, you're going through a terrible surgery, you're going through a terribly tough time in life, whatever it might be, says the Rambam. If you cannot have the requisite concentration for the tefillin themselves, the Rambam writes one is not allowed to wear the tefillin at all. And therefore, says the Shagas Aryeh, over here we're not dealing with an avel who is involved in schok v'kalas rosh. We're dealing with a person who's very serious about life right now, who's thinking only about serious things, but their mind happens not to be on the tefillin. And that's enough, says the Ramban, to say, well, you now cannot wear the tefillin. That's what the Rambam says if you're mitztayer, and you cannot have daito nechona alav, you cannot have the requisite concentration that's necessary while wearing the tefillin, that's already considered a hesach hadas, which again shows that we're dealing with a very different type of definition of hesach hadas. Rabbeinu Yonah says hesach hadas means your mind per se, you just have to make sure not to have your mind distracted by schok v'kalas rosh. On the other hand, the Ramban and the Rambam feel, no, the definition of hesach hadas is a person who takes their mind away from the tefillin is already in violation of the isser of hesach hadas while wearing the tefillin. So the Aruch HaShulchan picks up on the obvious question. If that's true, then how does the Rambam and the Ramban explain the Gemara Maseches Sukkah? The Gemara says that in a person who decides during the day while wearing their tefillin to take a short nap, they're allowed to do so while wearing the tefillin. How can they do such a thing? Don't we have a prohibition of hesach hadas? And we know the Rambam and the Ramban just said it doesn't mean that your mind is on something else, but it means if your mind is not preoccupied with the tefillin themselves, you don't have a right to wear them. So how do you explain that very obvious contradiction where the Gemara says clearly that a person is allowed to take a shinas arai, a small nap during the day while wearing the tefillin? Isn't that a direct violation of the Isser Hesach Hadas according to the Rambam and the Ramban? Says the Aruch HaShulchan as follows, and I'll read you his terminology. He says, Lididi, Mishinas Arai Lo Kasha Klal. In my opinion, there's no question at all from the case that the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah Daf Chavav about sleeping, because Shaharei Adam Muchrach Lishon. After all, a person has to go to sleep at some point. Va'az Patami Kala Mitzvahs. When a person is sleeping, I am not obligated to perform the mitzvahs while I'm sleeping. How can you tell me while I'm sleeping I'm violating the Isra of wearing tefillin behesach hadas? I'm not obligated in the mitzvah. I'm sleeping right now. So therefore he writes, Rabbanan lo hachrichu l'salka meirosho, the Chachamim did not make you take the tefillin off before you go to sleep, because while a person is sleeping during the day, you're pater min mitzvahs. And this is what the Aruch HaShulchan writes as well. He says, let's say you have a minyan, you only have 9 people, and a 10th person, you have a homeless person sleeping in the back. Homeless Jewish person, hasn't gotten a good night's sleep in a long time, finds a nice comfortable shul, goes to the front of the shul and takes a little nap. Now we have one short of a minyan. Should we go and wake him up, or could we assume, as long as we have 10 people in the room, that's good enough even if he's sleeping? Says the Taz, absolutely not. If a person's sleeping, you cannot count them toward the minyan. They have to be awake, they have to be aware of what's going on. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, why is that true? Aruch HaShulchan writes, because Hayashin the Shaito Hu Kameis. A person who is sleeping is as if he's not here. We don't put you into the equation. It's like you're dead, so to speak. Ve'echid starif, says the Aruch HaShulchan. How can we count you into the minyan? How can we count you as part of the asara for davening if you're not here? If you're like, for all intents and purposes, you're not with us at all. You're not even alive. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan is of the opinion that you cannot draw any conclusion from that Gemara Masecha Sukkah, which describes the case of a person sleeping in the tefillin, because after all, when one wears tefillin, they are not considered to be in any state of obligation at all. Now, this is very relevant to a discussion that comes up regarding the Yom Tov, the holiday of Sukkot, because Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach gave a famous psak. We have an obligation on Sukkot, Teishvu Ke'ein Taduru. We have to live in the Sukkah the same way we would live in our homes during the year. So that means you have to eat in the Sukkah, you have to learn in the Sukkah, you have to sleep in the Sukkah, you're supposed to do everything. So you're right, some people live in cold communities, some people live in dangerous communities, so they're not able to sleep in the Sukkah. But the real halacha is, one is supposed to sleep in the Sukkah. So said Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, if a person is trying to figure out where should I sleep tonight, you have to tell them, go sleep in the Sukkah. What if you walk into your house and you see one of the members of your family has already fallen asleep in the house? So they're violating the din of sleeping in the Sukkah. Are you obligated to go and wake them up and say, go right now to the Sukkah, you weren't allowed to fall asleep here. And therefore every moment that you're sleeping here, you're violating the aveira of sleeping outside of the Sukkah. You're being mevatel the mitzvah of sleeping outside of the Sukkah. Do you have an obligation to do that? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, absolutely not. Once the person fell asleep outside of the Sukkah, once they're sleeping, they're no longer obligated. Yashin is pater min ha-mitzvahs. You're not obligated in performing the mitzvah at all once you're sleeping. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman was of the opinion, if you walk into your home on one night of Sukkot and you see somebody sleeping there, you have no obligation at all to wake them up and tell them they have to move to the Sukkah. Once they're sleeping, they're sleeping. Once a person is sleeping, they're no longer obligated in mitzvahs. And that's the same comment that is made here by the Aruch HaShulchan, that once a person is sleeping, they're no longer bound by the rules of tefillin with Hesach Hadas, and that's what the Gemara says. We're allowed to wear the tefillin even when we go to sleep, Ashinas Arai, in the middle of the day. Now the problem with that is, we have one case in Shulchan Aruch which seems to indicate not so at all. And that is the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Avelo says an unfortunate story. The Shulchan Aruch tells us the story, the Ramah describes it in greater detail. What happens when you have a person who passes away in a building, and now in that building there happens to be a Kohen who's sleeping? So the Kohen is now going to become Tameh because he's in the same building, he's under the same roof as the dead body. Should we assume that you have to wake the Kohen in the middle of the night to go get him out of the building, or do you assume, no, once he's sleeping, he's sleeping? So there the Ramah says, no, just because he's sleeping and he doesn't know what's going on, we have an obligation to wake him up. The Ramah says, only if he's properly dressed, and they used to sleep without clothing. So the Ramah says, you have to make sure to tell him in a way that he's not going to be embarrassed, that's the question. But basically the Ramah says, just because he's sleeping, that's not a reason to say that we should ignore the fact that he's becoming Tamei Lameis. We have to wake him up immediately and make sure he leaves the building and not be Matami himself Lameis. So that's the question. If a person who is sleeping is considered Pater Min HaMitzvos, and once you're sleeping, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, you don't have to wake the person up and send them back into the Sukkah. And once a person is sleeping, we say, you don't have to be concerned about wearing the tefillin, having a Hesach Hadas. So why is it that when it comes to Tumas Kohanim, all of a sudden the rules change and we say, nope, if a person is sleeping in the building and somebody passes away, we have an obligation to wake them up? So that's a question to consider about why that might be a little bit different. But basically, we assume over here, Hesach Hadas is something that we learn from the Tzitz. It's something that we take very seriously. According to half of the Rishonim, we assume it's an absolute drasha d'araisa, it's a din d'araisa. The question only is, how exactly do we define what Hesach Hadas really means when it comes to a person wearing tefillin? That's a machlokas of Rishonim as well. But the general concept of Hesach Hadas is something that we should be taking very, very seriously, Rabbi Hanani.